beckoning to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. We live in extraordinary times. Of this there is no doubt. The word awakening is used over and over to describe this epic pace of advancing insights and understandings into how the universe works. It's led us into innovation and invention unlike anything mankind has ever known. Hi, I'm Adam T. Gardner. Over time, I've become a whole food, whole herb medicine man. I'm the visionary for America's Medicine Wheels and creator of the Human Accelerator website. And I see myself as being just like you, filled with wonders about this amazing age we're all in. The second Genesis Awakening one-hour radio show is going to bring it all home, expose how evolutionary our lives can become every day. Your host, Deborah Bruintout, singer, songwriter, mother, and intuitive facilitator, is going to take you on a journey into the lives of folks just like you and me, who saw what was possible and took actions that have accelerated our lives into a whole and new reality. It's a level that, well, even our most advanced scientific insights don't realize yet how our daily lives can have this genetic activation of a second Genesis awakening and birth. It's written within the very fabric of our spirits, woven into every cell in our flesh. It's a truth we always knew was there as its mysterious way transforms so many of our open hearts. Now, here's your host, Deborah.
We welcome you to the second Genesis Awakening the Radio Hour, which is a part of the Sustainability, Regeneration, and Green Platform shows on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We're live on Boston and worldwide. We're an internet-based station. You can listen to us just about anywhere you are, whether you're in your car, on your phone, or Alexia, and with your Bluetooth. I am so delighted today to bring back by popular demand Susan Whiting. And she is welcoming today to spring gardening and tips for beginners and everyone. And you know she always has so much information for us. Back by popular demand, more from their humanitarian garden, several friends are calling in on this show to ask about gardening tips. How do we know it's all organic, pest prevention? The class locally that Susan facilitates now are gathering outside in the garden as she facilitates the I Am Fundamentals due to the distancing of the COVID-19. Susan shares with us that the second Genesis Awakenings is all about eating live, fresh, organic grown out of your own garden. After 25 years in higher education as a wellness therapist, Susan retired to working in her own land as an organic and humanitarian gardener to give fresh fruits and vegetables to our families locally here in Utah, southern Utah. Also to teach them how to grow their own food, to restore their own health and bodies of nutrition while recycling and reducing pollution on this planet. Susan is an advocate for all to know the freedom of growing your own food. Max and Susan Whiting, a gift to us all from their garden to your family.
Hey, Deborah, this is Producer Bob. We have a caller from Utah. Her name is Yvonne.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. And you've been a part of our group, and you've been joining us. And I understood you came out to Susan's Garden, and Susan's right here. So did you have some things you wanted to share or ask Susan?
I certainly do. Yes, my husband Greg and I had the pleasure of visiting with Susan and Max in their fantastic garden, and it really started to inspire us. And so I have some questions about just getting started growing organic vegetables, herbs, and flowers in the desert. I'm from southern Utah, and those are our conditions. So where do I even start, like with the soil, and what are the best herbs and flowers to grow this time of year? And the most effective way, really, to keep the weeds down and the pests. So how do you maintain an organic garden with, you know, all the challenges of growing in the desert and our own version of weeds and pests? I appreciate it.
That's a great question.
That was a lot of questions, so I'm excited to start answering, and what I forget, you'll ask me again, right?
Yes.
The most important thing you already said, Yvonne, which is so, so beautiful, everything is about soil. And if you only remembered two things that I say the whole time that we're here, for all the people listening, the first one would be soil. In fact, I say to people, if you only have a dollar to spend on your garden, spend 90 sense of it making sure that your soil is correct. And the other one is to find someone who grows locally and get their information, because you're so wise to understand that every day, every person, every area is different. And growing in a northern climate or a southern climate or one with a lot of rain or without it makes a huge difference. And the one key that ties it all together is the key of love, which of course we talk about in our I Am class. Love is the key to making everything work well. So I think I'll start with soil, because you asked about that. How does one get soil?
Yeah. And that's a great question.
Some of the places like the Northeast, where it's deeply forested, the soil has been already conditioned for you, because for many, many years, leaves and pine needles and all kinds of things have been falling into the soil. But as you said, where you live, that is not the case. The soil is dry and sort of a packed clay where we are. And so we bring in dump trucks full of mulch before we start a new garden area. Deborah knows we started a third part of our garden this year, which puts us almost to an acre. And we've already given food to 40 families besides our own.
Yes.
So it's exciting.
I've watched
that. And it is all about soil.
It's all about the soil, and so you're bringing in the dump trucks, and we're doing that also here. We've got the soil getting ready. So it is in
so
the secrets in the soil, right?
Amen. So let's talk about things that you can have in those dump trucks or that you can bring from yourself. And so use what you have is what I would say. And if you can get wood chips, dry leaves, we use all of these things, actually. Whatever, like neighbors often will give you bags and bags of leaves around here, and we take the leaves from almost all of our neighbors and put them in our garden every year, so we get new mulch on top. We get wood chips from the tree trimmers that are local, and we put those in. And some people don't want to do that, but in our case, we have a horse, and we know that horse is clean of chemicals and hormones or anything, and so we also use a horse manure with the mix of the wood chips to break that down. But in addition to that, we eat almost all organic. In fact, we probably eat 60% from our own garden. But everything that we eat, of course, you have peelings and shells and cores and whatever else, food that you didn't eat quickly enough. We just dig a hole and throw that in and throw some soil over it. So we have much, much to do with our things from our own kitchen. So nothing from our garden gets thrown away, except, and I do want you to remember this one, Yvonne, because lots of people in our area have trouble with what's called squash bugs. And those squash bugs overwinter in the squash leaves and plants. And so I do throw in the landfill the squash plants and their leaves just because I can't take that risk. But everything else from the garden and our own, like even banana peels, which, of course, we don't grow here, orange peels, things like that, just gets buried back in the garden. And one more little tip, I have bought worms because our soil here does not have any natural worms. I have bought red worms and also some night crawlers. So they
I remember you doing that.
And it's called the microbiome. And you can get lots of information about that on the Internet and from other people. But the microbiome in your soil makes all the difference about how everything grows and how easy it is to work with it. There are two other items you can buy that will help around here. One's called biochar, and it's quite expensive. We don't use it, but it's very interesting to look into that as well because it's made in places that are self-sustained. They burn refuse from a logging camp, and they burn it at very high heat in what they call the dragon, and that is then, when it goes down to that charcoal, it has a very wide surface to hold oxygen and also the microbiome. So that's a new one I learned about this year. And the other one you can purchase is called microcorrhizae. And it is...
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear that. What is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I sometimes talk fast, too, so you can slow me down. I get excited about it.
Just for anyone that wants to write that down.
Corazide.
Microcorrhizae.
You can look it up, too.
Okay.
And it's like a fungus that grows in your soil, which that sounds yucky, but it's correct. Without all those things growing there, then the plants don't have nourishment. And that's why people seem to be adding so much fertilizer and so forth. And with the mix that we have, we rarely use fertilizer unless like a specific tree needs something specific like iron or something like that, then we would use that. But we don't put a lot of nitrogen and artificial fertilizers because the wonderful microbiome feeds the plants. And I think you saw it this week. How did it look? Deborah?
It was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, and it seemed, I didn't realize that's what I was seeing. It just seems more alive. Would be my experience.
You can feel the life in it. Thank you for knowing that.
Yeah,
it's
like that. It's already, I love the garden, and I'm coming to your home. Did you enjoy that also, Yvonne?
Oh, I really did, and I was quite amazed at this early time of the year, how much was actually there, harvestable. It was beautiful. The spinach and parsley and kale. And it was so vibrant looking.
Yes, a lot of our things come back from the year before, and so some of the herbs and those things that you saw there are things that overwintered here because it doesn't get really cold and it's fun. What did you pick this week, Deborah? I put you to work picking your own things.
Well, that was really fun because you have the snow peas, and they're my favorite, you know, this time of year. I just crave it, and I think you said you did too. So you were picking some beets now. Yvonne, she has the beets, and she got me a granddaddy beet, of course, to share with Adam, my husband, and Adam T. Gardner. And it was
they're already
so
about
amazing.
2 inches.
While I was
yeah, they're already about 2 inches of one diameter.
And I'm also hearing that is Monica. She's been coming to your garden. Monica, are you here? Maybe not, but she'll be coming on.
So, actually, yes, I am. I just had it muted. Didn't want you to pick up any background noise. But yes, I am. I finally got it.
Yvonne's here, and Susan is answering questions to us, but also you've been to her garden, and you know, what was your experience this week?
Oh, I'm always blown away with how delicious her peas are. I've never tasted peas so good. Usually when they get old and they get really, when they get really big and plump, they'll dry out or they'll have this bitter taste or they just lose their flavor altogether. But no matter how big and plump they get, I just find that they're even better. I mean, they're just so juicy and sweet, and I just have never tasted peas that good. And you eat the whole thing. You don't just pop the peas out in the middle, but you eat the whole thing, and it's like, it's so good. And my kids love them, and they can really go to town on them. I'm like, what's your secret there? But I'm also learning, you know, about the micronutrients and all that as well.
Right. And that's what she was asking, Susan, that you had added to your garden. So I'm sure Yvonne will be coming out sometime in the near future, and she can experience.
We have a lot more, Yvonne.
Yeah.
Than we did. I'm looking forward to my next visit.
Yeah. So you also were talking, your question that Yvonne had is about herbs and flowers. I love that because another thing that I love about your garden, did you, Yvonne, is the flowers that she plants and the herbs.
Probably yes. Didn't have them when Yvonne was there, except, were the roses on when you were there? I can't remember.
Yes, the roses were there.
Hmm. But Monica saw them this week. We had lovely, the oleanders are huge right now, and the cosmos are looking great. Comfrey is an herb that actually Deborah and Adam T. Gardner taught me about, and we have huge comfrey plants, and they are a natural anti-inflammatory, which many people have struggled with over time as the air becomes polluted and so forth. And I do want to talk about that for just a second, and then I'll go back to Yvonne's question. But the garden is such a precious thing for us right now. Many people are all alarmed and concerned about what we can do about spreading disease, and eating your own food that you wash, that you clean, that you work with, and gaining the energy from the sun, the four elements, actually, the earth, air, fire, and water, are a huge, huge, what I'll call natural vaccination for your health. So I did want to say that at that spot, but I want to go back.
Especially now, all of our awareness is changing. And you are such an advocate, as we all are, for the freedom of growing your own food. Yeah, for everyone to learn. So thank you. And then you wanted to share what...
I wanted Yvonne to ask me some of those questions again because I didn't remember all of them while I was talking. What else did you have, sweetie?
Yeah, thanks. I was wondering, this time of year, if I were to be planting anything in terms of the vegetables, herbs, and flowers, what would be the best things to plant that would come up in the 2 months or so as the weather gets really, really warm here in southern Utah?
You are so smart to ask that question. I got literally burnt the first year I was here because I didn't understand that concept, and I didn't plant things at the right time because I had come from a more northern climate. And it's very different here. So those sweet peas that you're all talking about, those were planted the end of January, which sounds like a ridiculous time for many people to plant. But as it gets hot, they can't survive heat. And so they will finish harvesting quite quickly in the spring, and then they will shrink back because they don't like the heat. And in other climates where I had lived, that was not the truth. Potatoes do the same thing here. Instead of growing all summer long and then harvesting in October, because they start so early, we get a lot of what we call freebies, but they're volunteer plants in our gardens because we pour our mulch from our kitchen in there. We probably have 40 volunteer potato plants in our garden right now.
Yummy.
And they came up so early. Yeah.
Yummy.
They came up so early, they will be ready to harvest in July. And if we don't harvest them, which is okay, then they will start to grow new shoots because they think they're in another season. And so then they won't harvest that second shoot until late, like October. So asking that question is very wise. Tomatoes here are interesting as well, because in the as soon as it gets over 100 degrees, which we do, they stop blossoming, and then they go through a dormant place, and if people think that their plant is diseased or something and pull them up, they've missed the later fall time that when it cools back off, they'll start blossoming again and have a bumper crop in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So peas early, spinach, beets, those are the things that you're eating now. All of the carrots, all those things we planted in February and March, which sounds ridiculous from the places I'd lived before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cucumbers, squash, beans, corn, and those type of plants that freeze easily, they can't be planted until about mid-April or even a little bit later, because if they come up and we have a frost, it will kill the entire plant. So that's such a wise thing to do, and that's why I'm asking you to find someone, which is me in your case, who grows in your area to tell you what works in a different area. Had I been wise about that, I would have saved myself from planting some of the wrong trees and planting at the wrong time. So great to listen to a show like this, and great to ask those questions. Your broccolis, kale, our kale lived all winter. We made green smoothies all winter long with our kale, and it's prolific right now as well. I don't know what it does in the heat, because this is our first year.
We just had some from your garden this morning when we were juicing our kale and our greens. It was wonderful. So, great kale.
Oh, thanks. I understand it's one of the few things that can fix vitamin B12 in our gut as well. And a lot of humans have difficulty with holding vitamin B12 in your gut, and it helps with that. So great eating.
Yeah, it's very helpful. We take a lot of that, and that's a whole other subject at our house now with the vitamin B12. It's all so fascinating. We are just going to take a little breather, and we're coming back to ask with Monica and Yvonne, and we're here with Susan Whiting, who is welcoming us to spring gardening and tips for beginners and everyone. And she's back by popular demand, and you can feel it and see why. So we will take a breather, and I'm Deborah with the Second Genesis Awakenings Radio Hour, and we'll be right back on Dream Vision 7 Radio.
Adam T. Gardner here with humanaccelerator.org. Just wanted to let you know we've got a wonder-filled curriculum put together. The website's a gathering place for what's called our We Community. We're working to build America's medicine wheels, where you'll be able to sample the most advanced regenerative medicine and lifestyles ever known. But you don't have to wait for us to finish the building in order to begin your adventure into insights and understandings that will be at our completed cultural center near Zion National Park. You can join the We Community for free. We've got over a dozen videos to share about us, about life, about the possibility that mankind now has to live free of all sickness and disease. That's the humanaccelerator.org. See you there. Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org, just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief. It's finally here, this truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life. For just over 200 years, mankind has been capable of accessing insights and understandings of how the universe works, unlike any other moment in man's history.
This age has brought unimaginable wonders into our lives. But what if there were a new way to learn? An evolutionary next step where we will actually
see, smell, taste, touch, and hear wonders we never knew existed until now.
Catch the Human Accelerator with Adam T. Gardner every Tuesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by going to dreamvision7radio.com, your internet choice for inspiration and vision.
We'll see you there.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And Susan, we have been talking with Yvonne, and she had other things to talk to do. And so, yeah, we've got Monica here. And Monica, I know you have many questions for Susan. So what are your questions today?
Well, I have a unique situation where I'm at, where I'm on the hill and the wind blows. And so I tried to plant and the wind came and snapped off all my plants and everything. And so I got really frustrated. I'm like, oh, this is so much work. What do I need to do? Kind of thing. And I just gave up for several years. And I'm like, why do that when I can go to the store? It's just a lot of work. We did end up getting box gardens, and we're trying it again because we have a little bit of a windbreaker now. But again, it's still a lot of work. So my question is, why would anyone want to garden? It's a lot of work when you can just go to the store and get the food.
I want to answer that because I've started gardens in many different climates. I've lived as far as Great Falls, Montana, north, and had a garden there, and then more central Utah and now southern Utah. Very different. And in southern Utah, as well as Great Falls, Montana, the wind is really a challenge. And so I'm going to talk about why one wants a garden, then I will come back to the wind. But the garden for me is a gym. It's a place where I work out and I love to, so I don't get tired of it and it doesn't cost me anything. It's a church for me, a place of reverence where all the elements and I and my higher power speak and communicate. And Deborah's seen me communicating with the plants in my own weird way. It's a restaurant. It's a grocery store. It's a service project. It's a social gathering. And it is an earth cleaning. And so I'm kind of a big advocate on let's clean up the planet. And because I grow all organic, I don't put any herbicides or pesticides in the garden. In fact, you should have seen my husband and I pulling and digging morning glory this morning.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One of the other challenges.
You too.
I saw that.
I found myself going and picking it.
They go down about 12 inches at least, and so they have to be shoveled and fine picked out. It's a chore. But it's what we do, and it helps build the microbiome in the beginning. The other piece I really want to say is so important, Monica, to that is a vegan, which is someone who eats no animal products, and I'm not saying everyone needs to be that, but they make a 41.7% smaller carbon footprint on this planet than a normal regular meat eater. And so it's critical to me that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren have a clean planet where they can get water and air. And there's a lot of speculation that many of the newer diseases are because of the polluted state in which our bodies live. And so I do it for all that spiritual reason, because it isn't just the food, but the truth of the matter, or the oneness with God and all creation, is something I resonate to. And I experience that so beautifully. And I would love to talk more about you reap what you sow in a spiritual way, as well as you reap what you sow in the garden. And if I can help save the planet and stop animal cruelty and give my family, three of my family members have celiac disease and they can't eat anything that has pesticides and herbicides on it, and so feed people I love food that I know will keep them functional in life. And then, of course, the service project is fun. I love to give the food away, and it helped many other people. It talked about how it helped them with depression and anxiety to do their garden. Other people who noticed that different foods without those made a huge difference for them. So those are the reasons, and you're right. My first year, in fact, my husband and I still say we learn every year in gardening, and he made a new trick this year that I want to share with you about the wind. The buckets they have in nurseries that you buy the larger size plants in, they're probably 12 inches in diameter. They're quite big, and they have holes in the bottom. He cut the bottoms mm-hmm. out of them, and we buried them around our sweet potatoes, which we lose half of them every year almost to wind here. And so they stand up. Yeah, they stand up about 4 inches taller than the ground level, mm-hmm. and then the wind can't blow the new plant. The other thing that we do for wind, anyway, that was a newest discovery for us, and I love it. It works so well. We just took them off this week. And now they can take the wind because they're stronger. The other thing we do is we put up what's called hog wire or a fence on it on T-posts, and then we tie the plant, the tomato plants, which tip over a lot, and the peas. You probably noticed the peas had mm-hmm. tomato cages and string all tied through them to hold them up. And so we have various methods of tying up and tomato caging and fencing, and then our new bottomless buckets, literally, mm-hmm. that block the wind. And so this is it's a creative art project, and I know you're an artist, Monica, fabulous mm-hmm. artist in many ways, a singer and in other media, but it is an art form. And as you learn more and more about it, the art of keeping it well and healthy is a challenge and a creative process. I know you've also written a book called You Are a Creator, which will come out soon for children, and it talks about that, and this is a perfect way to teach a child how to be a divine creator with nature and with their higher power. Does that help?
Yes, very much so. And we ended up getting our garden, off the ground and putting it in box gardens because we also had critters that would come, ground squirrels that would come and eat the roots. I didn't know how to combat that one, so we put it in box gardens.
That is the $1 million question, right, Susan?
Yes, I have one answer that's very expensive and works in our area. We have deer, squirrels, raccoons, and rabbits, and voles. what did I forget? We have ground squirrels. We have those also. And there is a way to handle all of them, which is to bury a fence 12 inches deep into the ground. So you put it in there before you put your new soil in, which we didn't do, by the way. I'll tell you, we don't have this. And then it has to be 12 feet tall above the ground, and it has to be fine enough mesh near the bottom that it keeps those smaller bunnies and so forth out. So there is a way to do it, and we do not do that. We do a lot of prayers on our garden, which is an interesting thing. With the inability to get together as family like we used to, we are doing a family prayer every night at 7 o'clock with all of our children and grandchildren across the United States by phone and Zoom. And they have been praying for all of us that grow gardens, and we have had much less difficulty. And I don't know if you noticed, we had a few deer biting off a few of the tops of the peas, but everything was intact this year. We also have two cats, which I think are eating the voles, and maybe the bunnies. Sorry to hurt people's feelings because it hurts mine too, but it does help. So there are ways, A garden that is totally enclosed in a box is one of those ways. That doesn't work for us because we grow too large of an area.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing should work for you if you put fence around the top of the box as well. It'll keep the deer out too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tricky, right, huh? Just pray that they only eat their part. They're supposed to eat their part and not eat the whole thing. And you have to pray for them to know that. That's what we do. Did you want to ask other questions? I have other things I can say if you don't, but I'd love to answer the questions that you have.
Well, like in my case with the garden, I do notice that when you put things, I thought it was fabulous how you bury your mold or bury your extras in the garden. Kitchen scraps in a line. I think that is like ingenious. But where I don't have that, and I just have the box gardens and stuff, what do you recommend? Just burying it right there in the box garden?
There are several ways to do that as well. I'm thankful that you asked that. You could, the easiest way I would think in your box garden is to leave one end with a hole and you just pour it all down the side of that. So you'd have about 6 foot deep mulch and about maybe 1 foot wide. So you wouldn't take too much of your box gardening, but you would be pouring it in there. And then the next time you would do it a different, but that would take scraps for quite a long time. Then you grow on top of that. And then do another one on the other end of your box garden, a larger hole. One of my sons who gardens digs a hole about, 5 feet deep and about 4 feet wide on one end of his garden, and he just pours all his in there. But it does attract flies if you leave it open, so that's the con of it. And then there are, of course, all kinds of bins and mulch makers, but they seem to attract the fruit flies too. So that's why I love burying mine underground. And I think you could do that, honestly, in a box garden. Just like when your plant's new, push some soil aside where there isn't a plant there, drop it in and throw a little bit of soil back on top of it. So you can experiment with it, but your scraps, I can't remember what the number is, but someone told me that there's a huge portion of landfills that are filled with things that are biodegradable. I even put paper and all kinds, like toilet paper rolls, small cardboard, Kleenex tissues, almost all of our garbage, except, you can't put something like a can in there, obviously. But there are many more things you can put into your garden than you think. And if you left, like, little holes as you were planting, just be aware to leave aside until the root gets big. Then you can throw them in there, cover it with dirt, and as the root gets bigger, it can grow into those and it will nourish. So I think you can do it a little bit like I do with. What she's saying is we dig a hole, throw our trash in, and then we dig the next hole and throw the dirt on top of the last one right next to it. But we have a big area.
Brilliant. Good question. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Susan, for, as I'm listening, it's wonderful to have you on, and that so many people now, I feel, are even asking more questions. Realizing that they can be healthier and have, grow their own food. It's really a lot to take in right now. And Monica, I'm so grateful for you calling in. And Susan, that you had mentioned Monica's book and her book for children, because I think it was, I work on Dream Vision 7 Radio, also in the social media, so I do that part, and I think Monica was giving out a book with she's always giving something.
Yes, she is.
Yes, and it was Now I'm Become, what was your book? Do you know that you
It's called
signed?
You Are a Powerful Creator, My Little One. You Are a Powerful Creator, My Little One.
Yeah, and you gave that out, a signed copy. So from time to time, we'll go out. But say, from time to time, Dream Vision 7 Radio, every month, you can come and sign up. And you do win a free book and a signed book. And we have the children's books. We have authors like Adam T. Gardner, which he's put in, and many other, and then our hosts with radio shows. So, yeah, that was really nice. And we're going to come back with Susan, and I hope you can stay on, Monica. If you have any more questions that come to you, it'd be great. And I know Susan has much to share with us. So we'll be right back. And again, you're listening to our guest, Susan Whiting, and as she's welcoming in spring and to our gardening and tips for all of us and for beginners. And we'll be right back. This is Deborah.
Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org. Just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief, it's finally here. This truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle, genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life. Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. For over 3 decades, I've lived an ancient lifestyle I call walking in the medicine of the plant kingdom. I've not eaten any animal flesh, no meat, no eggs, no fish, no milk, cream, or cheese, for 30 years and counting. I've lived and witnessed what modern science says is impossible, and now can share piercing insights into how food is medicine and medicine can be food. I'm writing a series of books called The Second Genesis Awakenings. Book one is The Second Genesis Diet, Welcome Home. It's a diet book unlike any diet book ever written, I promise. It's available online at our website, thehumanaccelerator.org. It's also at amazon.com. Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. In an ancient lifestyle I call walking in the medicine, I've discovered piercing insights into how the human body works in a harmonic, symbiotic relationship with the plant kingdom of life. This genetic and epigenetic dynamic gives us, each individual, the power to remove troubles from our bodies without harming or removing any organs. It's an evolutionary next step for mankind, ultimately leading into a human life free of sickness and disease. The details of this reality are in Book 2, called The Second Genesis Transformation, Passage to Spontaneous Regeneration. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org for a copy, or amazon.com. That's The Second Genesis Transformation, Passage to Spontaneous Regeneration.
Genesis Awakenings Radio Show, and I'm your host, Deborah Bruentout, and I am enjoying so much this show, Susan Whiting, and we have Monica, and we've had Yvonne calling in. It's just always fun to have those questions that add to so much. Monica, as we had gone out, I had asked you if you would like to stay, and I think a question came up, so would you ask your question for Susan?
Actually, we've got the children home, and I know that we've, school's over now, but we've had them out about, in the garden, in the yard and everything, but I haven't really known how to teach them, but I would like to know more of what I can do with my children and getting them involved more in the gardening process.
That's a great question.
The way things have shifted and changed.
Yeah, so much has, hasn't it, Monica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that you're asking that. Yes, it's so beautiful because this is what we are doing with quarantine and so forth, is we're saying, how can we use this to make something great happen? And teaching our children in our own homes things that are valuable life lessons is one of those things. So I'll talk about, I had 2 grandchildren out with me in the garden this morning, one 14 and one 11. And these young men have been, they're good students and they like their indoor work, but they don't always like outdoor. So I have to find various tasks to help them be happy. And they've been the fruit because they could climb those ladders agilely. And today they picked up rocks in an area next to a neighbor just barely built a block wall, and they took them to another place where we have a rock wall where we could use them. And in cleaning this out, as they took them to the new area, I had to teach them many things. And one of the lessons we teach is work smarter, not harder. And today they had a good lesson on that one, because when they took the rocks to the rock wall, instead of dumping them where they needed to be, they dumped them in a pile on the other side where my husband has to mow.
Uh-oh.
Because they said, well, it was hard to get them in there.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, well, part of learning to work is thinking about what other people are going to have to do next. So what you're doing is you're practicing how you would save yourself work in the future and how you would save others. So I said, you save Grandpa mowing work when he doesn't have to get out and move rocks. And you save yourself weed work, because this area where they had just put this wall up on the neighbor's property had weeds next to it. That's a long story, but anyway. And so we were cleaning the rocks off before they put them in the wheelbarrow and took them to the new pile, because the boys do the weeding in our rock areas, because we don't even spray our rock driveways. So they do a lot of tedious rock working. And I said, so you took the weeds off so that you wouldn't have more weeding in the driveway. You put the rocks in the right pile where we already have rocks, so Grandpa doesn't have to worry about weeding around them. So now, and then I have them teach it back to me. So I say, now you teach me three things you learned today. So they go like, we work smarter, not harder. We anticipate the next job that the other person's going to have to do. We try to save ourselves work, and we do it at the right time, because you taught us in the spring when the weeds were just coming up and the driveways were wet, if we would pull them then, we would have far less weeds, and now we don't have hardly any because we took them out before they seeded up. So it is the perfect time to teach your children all of the life lessons, because gardening is a microcosm of our relationship with ourselves, with God, and with our brothers and sisters on this planet, including the brothers and sisters that are animal life. That as we work the garden, we learn to work together as a united spiritual team to keep this planet alive, to save the planet of pollution, to work in conjunction with the animals that are there, to teach multi-generation how to carry the qualities of good work rather than just being in the house in front of a TV. And a garden is a beautiful schoolroom, so you asked the exact right question. That was lovely.
Beautiful. I've got tons of notes here. I'm like, work smarter, not harder. Anticipate the next job. Save yourself more work. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be teaching my kids this. I'm so excited.
It's fun. I'd love to have them come out and teach them. That's more than the work that they get done. It's the teaching that they receive. I said, how do you think your dad learned to be such a good worker? It's like, he worked with you too. I was like, yo. I've grown gardens for probably 40 years. Smaller ones. Now I have just this giant humanitarian one because I can do it full time. But all my children got to be gardeners and learn just those lessons.
Wow. I'm so impressed with you.
Yes.
Thank you.
It feels really good. Because I just notice how much the kids do enjoy it. They have their moments, like all kids, right? And so it's such a moment where you just use that in the moment that it's happening.
Can I tell you one more they did? Yesterday they picked strawberries.
I'd like everyone to hear, because that's the question Monica asked.
I told them strawberries is the second hardest job in the garden, because when we are organic, we have snails and pill bugs and earwigs, and if the strawberries stay on the ground, they eat holes in them, and then the kids won't want to eat them. So they have to learn how to talk. I've taught you this before, Deborah, too, when you picked it up.
I was thinking, I'm one of the students.
You have to.
And I remember finding a few when you had gone to Disneyland back in the day. And a few of them were on the ground. So
yes, you must pull up this stem that has a strawberry on it, tuck it up in between other leaves in the plant so it will stay up off the ground. In addition to that, if you do have any that the bugs have eaten, you have to throw those to another place in the ground, which will replant themselves. By the way, I didn't know that until we got what I call the God strawberries, which are better than any of the ones I ever bought.
They are so delicious. It's true, everyone. And then they do that. They they grow their own the next year voluntarily, and they taste so good.
Yeah, so I asked them, you know, how much more do you appreciate the strawberries that you pick now? You know how much work they are. When Grandpa and I just pick them and clean them and bring them down to you for your smoothie as a treat, then how much more do you realize and value what other people's work do for you when you have had to work yourself? So that's a beautiful lesson for children to learn right now, too.
It
if
is.
You wash it, the it, floor, you don't bring mud in on it.
That's so true.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, it's just,
well, I had
so
just
much.
One other thought. If I mean, I can talk all day about gardening, as you know.
Yeah,
but
I think that's great that you give your thoughts, because that's what Monica and I had both said. We want to hear your wisdom.
The oneness of all creation is a thing that, as we get into that, our meditation is more powerful, our body strength is more powerful, our mental health is more powerful. And as you said, I worked in the university system for many years and taught wellness. And so I worked with people with heavy addictions and very serious mental and emotional problems, as well as physical problems. And that was my job for many years at the university level, keeping students in school that might otherwise have to go home. And it is a oneness with all creation that does that. And as we can feel the vibration of other living things and how it all works together in the entire cosmos, I call that truth in matter, a oneness with God, a love vibration. And I know you both understand that everything is a vibration, and either is a vibration that causes us to feel peace and joy and love and prosperity, or it is a vibration that causes us to go into places where we might have more difficulty, and not only ourselves, but all everything and everyone else. And we have an opportunity in the garden to experience that, because everything that grows there, you have to watch every footstep you take so you don't step on something that's growing. You have to water it the right time. Like most plants, I should tell you this too, Monica, the vine plants do not like to be wet all night, or they grow mold on them. So watering a garden in the morning is much more valuable than watering it at night, even though other things can be watered that way. If you have any vine plants, which include strawberries, squash, even roses, if they are wet all night in a hot climate, they will grow mold on them and be unattractive and unhealthy. So when you water, how much sun? Don't plant trees in the, so that it blocks your garden from morning sun. All the garden plants want the sun first thing in the morning. Go out in the morning and do your salutations to the sun, your yoga, and your worship in the garden. It is so, so powerful. The truth of matter is here all around us, and the garden is a place where we can feel it. Every hair on your body can vibrate with that garden. And I know, like Deborah, you experienced that with music because you have a beautiful musical voice, and so do you, Monica. So you work with what I would call the God of harmony in music, and gardening and life is very much the same thing. You feel it, you know it, you experience it, and it thrills you clear to the bone. So either of you can comment on that if you'd like. You're both powerful wisdom holders on that topic.
I'd love to hear your wisdom, yeah. Monica.
Oh, when you, as you're putting it that way, I'm like, I absolutely know how that feels. I feel when I'm singing, there's a certain resonance and vibration in my voice, and I feel it in every cell of my body. And I feel it healing me. I feel it healing others. It's amazing and magical. And as you compare that to gardening, I put it in my note, God of harmony in music and gardening. And I'm like, okay, this is really giving me hope. Because I've really been frustrated. I'm not like too struggling, you know, but I have patience with myself, but I'm like, I'm still a baby when it comes to gardening. And so I'm just learning the, you know, the basics and stuff, but I want to be able to do it more and more, and getting the right education, you know, the right, knowing what right soil to put into it and everything. And then I know that I enjoy being in nature, but I'm like, I really want to be able to love this process too. But I have seen it as a lot of work that I've avoided.
First-time gardeners rarely succeed, I'm sorry to say. So you have to have a bit of tenacity. But all spiritual works like that. You learn to play an instrument like the piano first time you sit down. It just, the things that really, really matter in life are incrementally growing and moving you towards higher vibrations. One of my sons and I had that conversation. He's a fireman, but yesterday his good thing for the day was he ran a 6-minute mile, and he's not a runner particularly, he just keeps himself fit. And he and I talked about every single thing you do either makes you a higher vibration or a lower. Doing your exercises every day, eating your healthy food every day, saying nice things to everyone every day, doing prayers every day. Each one takes you up or takes you down, just like doing heavy drugs or alcohol or things like that take you the other direction. And when you do the one good thing, it makes the next good thing easier. And when you do the one not so good thing, it makes the next thing harder. It's incremental growth, growth, growth. And it's beautiful to watch. It's what you see in your children, honey. I know that your children have many talents, too.
Well, yeah, I just want to thank you so much. It's time for us to say adieu for now. But I'm so grateful that you are both on, and Yvonne, and your wisdom. And I feel enlightened, and I thank you so very much, everyone here,
you,
for participating. And especially during this time right now, that these are ways not to compromise ourselves and our bodies, our spirits and our bodies. Mm-hmm. So make it a healthy, aware week. And come and enjoy thinking or being or all the tips you've learned from Susan today in your garden. And we'll see you next
time. Good luck. Don't give up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us next time as the Second Genesis Awakening unfolds further mysteries into how our lives can be transformed through ancient insights and modern understandings of how the universe works upon us and within us.
Now remember, the show broadcasts every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, you can catch me on my website anytime. Call in allangels.com. I've written a number of songs, and they're available for download on my website. That's callinallangels.com.
The Second Genesis Awakening has been a production of TheHumanAccelerator.org, your We community, working to build America's medicine wheels.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.